This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew on 7-5 Radio. Check us out on 75radio.org. The number 75, the word radio.org. We are live tonight. It is Saturday, July 24th, year of our Lord, 2021. Walter, how are we doing tonight?
Oh, pretty well. Pretty well. I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
Not bad, not bad. Can't complain much because nobody would listen.
No. Oh, yeah. They put me at the head of that list.
So, anyways, first order of business is we want to remember the members of the law enforcement community who are murdered in line of duty. Fortunately for this week, we have no names to read off. From the Officer Down Memorial page. Stay safe out there, officers. Also, we need to say a special shout-out to Little Billy Keebler and the members of the Onondaga's New York Fire Department who are listening tonight. Little Billy texted me on his flip phone stating that he is going to be like Rush Limbaugh. He's got a nice cigar. Well, he's almost there. He's
And I'm getting a lot of feedback on your flight. But anyways, Little Billy took, he got some White House cigars from his girlfriend Linda. So I hope Billy and the boys are enjoying themselves. But anyways, tonight we have a guest. We usually don't have guests on 10 o'clock on Saturday nights, but this gentleman decided he wanted to come on 7-5 Radio. He is Charles Moskowitz. He's a podcaster. He's all over internet, Facebook, wherever you hear podcasts, he's there. And he's also an author. He wrote a book called A Satanic Conspiracy. This really piqued my interest because, for me, I've seen as God is ripped from the public square, thanks to our leftist pinko America hating lawyers who sue everything, everyone for everything for mentioning our Lord. He wrote a book called The Satanic Conspiracy. Good evening to you, Mr. Moskowitz.
Good evening to you. Thanks for having me on, Scoop.
Not a problem. Tell us a little bit. Tell us about your book. What's your book about, and why is Satan a conspiracy?
Well, first of all, the Satanic Conspiracy is everywhere. It's within us. It's outside of us. It's in our societies. And it manifests itself in a vacuum of God. It's when we deny God, and as such, when we deny that which is good, that which is true, that which is real, we open the door to a satanic influence. But the interest, the aspect of my book that I get into is the fact that there is a larger likelihood, even a preponderance of satanic influence, when you get to positions of power. Whether that power be political, economic, cultural, whenever there are positions of power where people exercise extraordinary levers of power over others, the satanic influence becomes a serious problem because it's more than just your own individual behavior. It becomes something that can threaten your freedom from outside in the literal sense. You have a society that can threaten your freedom. And the Satanic Conspiracy is something that is part of nature, and it's been with us since the beginning of time. But we keep it in check by our own consciousness, our own knowing of God, our own knowing of our self-interest, our own desire for self-preservation, for freedom, and for knowing that which is good and that which is right. The Satanic influence operates, and the Satanic Conspiracy operates in secret. It can't operate in the open, because if it did, it would be destroyed. Because once you see the lie, you know it's a lie and you can't unsee it. So it has to operate as a subterfuge. And that's why the satanic conspiracy operates within the context of secret societies and secret organizations. And that's why I say it's a conspiracy. Because a conspiracy is whenever two or more people get together and they conspire to do something wrong, something unnatural, something evil, something immoral, something against God, something against nature. So we have an ongoing satanic conspiracy, and that it is becoming an increasing problem in our own time, I think largely because of technology. In the past, they could have wars, they could have holocausts, they could have depressions, they could do all sorts of things that conspirators do, and yet it wasn't as global or as all-reaching as it is and as threatening as it is now due to technologies, due to things like artificial intelligence and the ability to monitor and surveil every person in the world, the ability, to, you know, the movement of transhumanism, which is a movement to literally change human nature. And the only way to do that, because human nature can't be changed, is through subterfuge, through force. It's a satanic idea. And so I'm trying to look in my book at the origins of the modern satanic movement, the modern conspiracies, and how they have reached this point of critical mass where we are now in danger of really losing the war against them. And the best way to fight them is to show a light on it. You know, a little bit of light, as the Talmud says, can dispel a lot of darkness. And my goal simply with this book is to contribute to shining a light on what I view as a satanic element, a satanic conspiracy in our society.
Wow, great. But one question, you brought up power. Now, say like I become in a position of power and I'm a God-fearing man. Why wouldn't I, you know, thank God for where I'm at or what he has given me as opposed to other people that they turn to the dark side? Like I don't know, a perfect example would be Star Wars. The character Anakin Skywalker, he turned to the dark side, he'd become powerful. But why would they turn away to God and go towards Satan? Are they being tricked by Satan?
Yes, it is a trick by Satan. It's the promise of the Garden of Eden that the serpent promised Adam and Eve that they could know all things. They could know all good and evil. They can replace God. They can overthrow God. It's the lure of power. You know, it's the oldest, Whitaker Chambers referred to it as the second oldest religion, which of course he called communism, and I think rightfully. But it's the idea that you somehow, because you have power, you have some kind of a super right, a supernatural right to control others, and they often delude themselves into believing that they're doing it for our own good. And a lot of them do believe that. Of course, they're wrong. No one has the right to have power over me or any other sovereign citizen.
Right. Okay, Charles, we're coming to our first break. But anyways, the name of the book is The Satanic Conspiracy. You can check it out on Amazon. It is dirt cheap. When we come up, we'll be talking to Mr. Moskowitz about institutions and Satanism, and also what's going on in D.C., which is nothing but devil worshipers. Stay tuned, everybody.
Indeed.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrat. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt. And there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. We have a special guest, Charles Moskowitz. Check him out, charlesmoskowitz.com. The book is called The Satanic Conspiracy, available at Amazon at a very, very good price. Charles, I'm going to ask you a couple more questions and turn over my good friend, Mr. Yerkew. Because I want to get this over with by the next break, because we have a lot of breaking news coming from Washington, D.C. But anyways, real quick, you mentioned institutions. What are the institutions that there's a satanic influence? Is it the government? Is it the media? Is it the education? Is it other religions? What are some of the institutions being infiltrated by the satanic cult?
I think that it's all of the above. It's the government, it's corporations, it's economic groups, it's academia, the media, even some churches. And it's not all. I'm saying that there is an element there that really secretly does not worship God, that is involved in worshiping man, if you will. They worship their own power, and they're out to corrupt, they use that power to corrupt. Again, a lot of these people are unwitting. Most of them are conscious, however, in terms of what they're doing. I mean, we could take a look at for example, the Republican establishment and their attendance at the Bohemian Grove, which happens every year. It is a satanic ritual. It has been alleged that there's a sacrifice there. It goes back to the god of Moloch. This is something the Bible warned us about. It's the worship of graven images. It's the worship of the state as a graven image, as opposed to belief in what Jefferson said, the creator as the grantor of all rights, not the state. That's what makes this country different. That's why we were unique. We recognize God as sovereign, and that God gives a limited grant of sovereignty to the citizen in a short period of life, and then you try to make a better world, but only in the context of what you can do. You're not God. Whereas our establishment believes it's God, and they are involved in literal satanic ritual, I think a lot of them are not conscious of it, but they make little compromises on the way to get to that power, because power is very alluring, and it's very corrupting. And the reason we have a separation of powers in this country and a free press, allegedly, is to keep a check and a balance on that influence. The Founding Fathers understood that influence, which is why they diffused power so that the different branches of government would compete with each other and each one would keep the other's excess in check. It also, the concept of a balance of power permeates our entire society. It permeates our life. We keep our own evil influence in check because we know there are consequences to it, because we feel that it's better for us to know God than know these influences. So the point I'm making here is that it's within all of our societies now, and it's becoming very powerful, particularly, I would argue, as a result of this last election, which I think has implemented a growing satanic-oriented, what President Trump accurately called deep state. And this is something that is permeating our national security agencies, our government, our media for certain, which is basically a footstool of it, and that we're really at risk right now unless we wake up and realize and know God and listen to our own self, our own consciousness, and know what's true. It's not easy to know that all the time.
Wow. Charles, I'm not going to hog up all the airtime. Walt, do you have any questions for Mr. Moskowitz?
Yeah, I do. Hello, Mr. Moskowitz. Shalom.
Thank you. Same to you.
I have pretty good knowledge. I spent like 6 years of free time 20 years ago just reading books and just absorbing, you know, information from books and such. Now, the satanic thing goes back millennials. It's not something that just started, you know, because of the liberals won the presidency and that kind of thing. And yeah, deep state, you know, you can call it what you like. But recent history, and I'm talking about the last 100 years, there have been many things that weren't, but became anyway. Example, Robert Johnson. Robert Johnson was a famous blues guitarist. 1 week, the man couldn't tune a guitar, let alone play it. A month later, he comes back and he's the best guitar player in the world. And he died soon after. He died a young man. At the crossroads, you know, the famous crossroads, you know, the deal with the devil at the crossroads. Then you have the Kennedy clan. I believe Rose and Joe Sr. Kennedy sold their souls to the devil, but put their children forth. Now they don't have a good record on their children. One died in World War II. President Kennedy was murdered. Bobby was murdered. They had a sister that had developmental disabilities her whole life. A lot of that family was just a mess. But they amassed such wealth. Then you look at celebrities. Let's go to Elvis Presley. Mm-hmm. Elvis Presley was a nobody until, 1955 when he recorded over in Memphis. And he lived to be 42. He didn't become famous until he was 21. And then he had 21 years, almost to the day, of fame and fortune. Now, it's what I read. You sell your soul to the devil for 7 years, and then the devil can come and get you. I believe he made 3 deals with the devil, and he went 21 years. You look at Chris Farley. Chris Farley was famous for 7 years. Nobody knew who the heck he was. So you get the drift what I'm looking at. You have Joe Biden, who has absolutely done nothing in 50 years. I believe the man sold his soul to the devil and gave up his wife, his first wife, and his daughter for his fame. Mm-hmm. You see where I'm going here?
I do,
Mr. Moskowitz.
Yes, I do.
Now,
yes, I see you,
this is nothing new. I don't personally believe in coincidence. I believe there are certain people that know certain things. You can call them the Masons. You can call them whatever you want. The Illuminati. You can call the bones, the skulls and bones. You can call them whatever you want. But there are certain circles of society that for some reason have contact with such force or forces. Supernaturally, perhaps, perhaps not. But if you look at the people who had nothing and then have everything, there is some suffering within their grasp. You know, like I said, the Kennedys and the Bidens, you know. So could you just give me a quick rundown before our break comes in the next 30 seconds or so on what I'm talking about?
I can't speak to the specifics of those people. I don't know whether they made a deal with the devil, but I don't doubt that people make serious moral compromises to get ahead. And there's most of the people, I think, in high positions of leadership are there because either they've made those compromises or they're being blackmailed by people who have made those compromises, and they're somewhat controlled. But John F. Kennedy tried to blow the whistle on this. I mean, I have in my book here, page 39, a speech that John F. Kennedy delivered at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel on April 27, 1961. I'll read an excerpt when we come back.
Right. Okay.
Yes, please. Let him read that excerpt and then we'll continue. Yep. I want to hear it.
Right. Anyways, his name is Charles Moskowitz. Check him out, charlesmoskowitz.com. The book is The Satanic Chronicles, available on Amazon. Folks, stay tuned, everybody.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
COVID cases in the U.S. are on the rise as the Delta variant spreads rapidly, hitting unvaccinated segments of the population hard. Florida, Missouri, and Texas now account for about 40% of the country's new cases. The CDC says that in 16 states, less than half of the population has received at least one dose of vaccine. Dr. William Schaffner, professor of infectious diseases at Vanderbilt Medical School, says it will take a different kind of effort to address that level of vaccine hesitancy. He tells CBS News that health officials will likely need to employ a one-on-one approach.
We have to ask each and every person what their issues are, respect that, and then try to provide the good information. And in addition, try to make them feel comfortable and reassured that doing this is really good for them, their family, and their entire communities. We're down to doing this one person at a time.
This is USA Radio News.
The best companion a pillow has ever had. You've heard me talking about Mike Lindell's Giza Dreams bed sheets now for a couple of years. They're the perfect companion to the MyPillow. Made with the world's best cotton called Giza, grown only in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River, its long staple cotton makes it ultra soft and breathable. And just like the MyPillow, there's a 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Try it for yourself. Mike Lindell and I promise you'll sleep better or you get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA. You'll get 2-for-1 pricing plus free shipping, but only by using my promo code USA. Or call 1-800-951-8175 and ask for the Giza Dream Sheets Special. And the promo code USA gets you up to 66% off the entire line of MyPillow products. Sleep better with the Giza Dreams bed sheets and save at MyPillow.com. Promo code USA.
President Biden hit the road on Saturday to hold a rally for a gubernatorial candidate in a state often considered a bellwether. Brad Bernards has the details.
President Joe Biden led the kind of campaign rally that was impossible last year, speaking before nearly 3,000 people in support of a fellow Democrat, Terry McAuliffe, whose race for Virginia governor could serve as a test of Biden's own strength and coattails.
You're not going to find anyone, I mean anyone, who knows how to get more done for Virginia than Terry. That's a fact.
From the USA Radio News West Texas Bureau, I'm Brad Bernards.
And Missouri's Attorney General says he will sue the city of St. Louis and St. Louis County for reintroducing a mask mandate for indoor public spaces. Officials announced the reinstatement Friday, citing a spike in the number of COVID cases and hospitalizations from the disease. Attorney General Eric Schmidt said in a tweet that he'd be filing a lawsuit Monday to stop the mandate from going into effect. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
Of course we're listening. We got a great guest. Once again, we're still with Charles Moskowitz. The book is The Satanic Conspiracy, and we're having a great conversation. Mr. Moskowitz, go ahead. Walter was asking about the Kennedys, the Bidens, Elvis, so on and so forth. Please continue.
Thank you very much. No, I don't for a minute doubt the likelihood that much of our leadership in various areas are satanic in their orientation. And that I think a lot of this emanates from secret societies. And President Kennedy tried to warn us about that. I got this speech right off of the Kennedy Library website. So this didn't come from some right-wing, you know, source or some conspiracy source. And he delivered this speech on April 27th, 1961, at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel to the American Newspaper Publishers Association, where he said, and I quote, "The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society, and we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighs the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is very little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it, and there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it is in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts that they deserve to know." So it goes on, and it's a sensational speech, but mm-hmm. He is pointing out that our country has always rejected these secret societies where people take oaths to something other than the Constitution, of the loyalty to our nation and to their spouses and to their families. These mm-hmm. are oaths up to these societies, including Masonic societies. They supersede, and I published one of the Masonic oaths in my book as well. I mean, they supersede loyalty to your own family, to you can, on the pain of death, will you break one of these oaths? And this is a conflict of interest for Americans, because we should not take any oaths to anyone but God. We should never bow our knee to anyone but God. I'm speaking here as a Jew. You know, Judaism tells us the story of Esther, of Purim, that Mordecai was standing outside the gate and Haman came up and said, "Why aren't you bowing to me just like everyone else?" Because Haman refused to bow. And he said, "Because I only bow to God." That is the American creed. We don't bow to our leaders. We only bow to the Lord God who created us and who created the universe and who gave us the law, not the state. So we are dealing with a group, a clique of people who operate in secret in these secret societies that John F. Kennedy warned us about. And that they are satanic because they reject God, because they reject reality. God created the universe. That's a reality. You can prove that. I prove it in my book with a very simple mathematical equation. And when you have people who are denying that, they are by nature satanic, because Satan is a denial of God and of reality, which allows in evil.
All right, Mr. Moskowitz, I really thank you for coming on this evening and staying an extra 5 or 8 minutes. I appreciate it. I'm going to make Scoop buy the book and send it to me. I don't pay for anything anymore these days except my mortgage. Thank you very much again. Again, shalom.
Thank you, shalom.
We got a couple more minutes. Mr. Charles, what are some of the – actually, here's another question. With – advanced technologies, like, yes, these people are getting together, but we're also seeing that, you know, the influences of Satanism. Are these people just hiding in plain sight? Are they just, or are they being more and more bold in putting satanic symbols in the media and on TV and the symbols and such?
I think that they are getting more bold with the symbols. I'm not an expert on that, but there are a lot of people who are. I point to Jay Dyer. He really is good at this. It tends to be a bit of a more Christian view, which I totally support and I agree with. But it's the idea that the satanic symbolism is something that, in order to practice literally Satanism, you have to do it in the open to a certain extent, even though you don't call it that. And so if you learn to look for this, you see these symbols, and you see that while they in and of themselves have no meaning, they do have meaning to the people who put them there. And that meaning is not wholesome. You know, that meaning is satanic.
Well, now, when people say talk about the Illuminati, is the Illuminati real?
Yes. I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if it's the literal Illuminati of Adam Weishaupt, who founded that society in 1776, but the ideas of the Illuminati, which he launched, and he then infiltrated the Masonic lodges. I have a letter in my book from President Washington acknowledging this. They are real, and those are the idea that we want to move toward a one-world ant colony and destroy all religions, all sovereign states, all sovereign families, in order to create this one-world evil empire where everyone becomes one gigantic ant colony. That is real, and that was the Illuminati idea.
Right. So when Alex Jones was screaming about the New World Order, he wasn't lying, was he?
No. You know, let's find out what he meant by that. You know, this is that's a theosophic expression that goes back to Blavatsky, which is founded Theosophy, which is the official religion of the United Nations, and which is amoral and Masonic. It's secretive and it's satanic, in my opinion.
Right. Now, you mentioned the Masons. Now, my wife's family, they've been Masons for decades, and they're God-fearing Christian men. Is there, like, two different Masons, like the ones that want to just do good, be part of the part of society, and another group that are just, like, satanic, or are they all just satanic? Because, trust me, I seriously doubt my wife's family would be involved in something satanic as Christian as they are.
No, my family as well. My father briefly was a Mason. He didn't like it, and he got out. My grandfather was very devoutly a Mason, and they were good, God-fearing people. I think that the majority of people who are Masons don't have any idea what it's about. They're on the outer portico, as they say. They are there because they want to have a business associates. They want to have a social experience. You know, their intentions are good. But at the very inner core, the inner sanctum, the 33rd degree, then you're dealing with a different story. I think then you're getting into this international order that is satanic, I would argue. But, of course, none of us actually know because it's secret. We can't know what's going on. But there is something suspicious, in my opinion, about people taking the kind of oath they take and the interlocking nature of it all over the world. These things are signs of something that is not operating in the interests of national sovereignty and promoting the rights of the individual under God.
Right. Wow. Mr. Moskowitz, while we got a couple of minutes left, tell our listeners where they can reach out to you and find you and listen to you as well.
Thank you very much. I mean, my book is available, The Satanic Conspiracy, on Amazon Books. All my books are. I've written over 20 books. And I do a live stream Monday through Friday, 12 noon to 1 and beyond on YouTube and on about 5 other live streaming platforms.
Well, but anyways, and hopefully we'll have you back on soon. But it's been an honor and a pleasure having you on. I mean, I gotta point down a couple of bucks and get this book. But I mean, if you go on Amazon, the book is inexpensive because, like Mark Levin, that man, he's more of a book salesman than a talk show host. He's been promoting this stupid book for weeks, And, you know, what kills me is these talkers, they make millions, and all they do is hawk more books. I mean, every other week they come out of the book, and he's talking about, oh, I want my book to be number one on Amazon, but it never got to be number one on Amazon. And, you know, I'm sick and tired of these people, you know, shaking people down for buying their crap. I mean, you can buy your book, and you can buy a shirt on our end, but, you know, we're not selling books. But anyways, Charles, it's been great talking to you. We'll definitely have you back on if I'm short a co-host or Walter short a co-host. But anyways, coming up next with the hellhole that is Washington, D.C., and what can be done about it. Stay tuned, everybody.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com, AmericaFirst.com.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
And we are back. That was a great interview for Mr. Moskowitz. We'll definitely have him back on. Hell, he got the party line number, so we might just show up whatever. But anyways, while we got a couple minutes left, it's been a hell of a week in D.C. We were talking about violent crime last week at the start of the show, and we had breaking news of a violent crime literally taking place during the show. Also this week, two Washington, D.C. firefighters were the victim of car thefts, the most recent case resulting in an armed carjacking. That's right. The District of Columbia's bravest are having the car stolen either at the firehouse or a guy some gentleman, probably gentleman of color, carjacked one of the bravest. Now, our buddy, Little Billy Keebler, who's enjoying his White Owl cigar, he had something similar. Little Billy had his Toyota Yaris stolen in Yonadosa, New York, but it was taken from him in the form of repossession. Billy told the repo man that he just got back from helping in the recovery efforts up September 11th. The problem was that this took place in March of 2015. But anyways, enough of the jokes. It's been a hell of a week here in D.C. You got firemen getting their cars taken from them, either by force or just taken from the firehouse when they're responding to calls. We talked about the six-year-old girl. We talked about the shooting that happened during our show last week. And now we have a shooting outside a fancy restaurant that Joe Biden liked to patronize in an area that, which is not nowhere near the ghetto. And the police chief says he's sick and tired of being sick and tired. His answer to crime was to come up with a community policing unit consisting of officers on bicycles and scooters. Well, what's your opinion of the chief being sick and tired of being sick and tired and comes up with community policing with cops on bikes and scooters?
First of all, a leader doesn't say that he's sick and tired of being sick and tired. A leader makes a statement about the situation and then acts on it. I can't see myself saying I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. He needs to say he's sick and tired of liberals running the country the way they want to and coming up with these sporadic policies, you know, as far as stop, question, and frisk, stop and frisk, walk, walk, and talk. You know, you just can't do that anymore. You got a lot of the liberals making the enemies again between the police and the streets that they patrol. Listen, people have been reminded about what their rights are. And that's freaking wonderful because they're there for everybody and they're there for everybody to use. However, you know, you can be stupid about it and kind of stretch your rights, which really isn't what the rights are. It's what they say. You know, if you're recording somebody or you can't violate other people's rights when you're doing your right. That's the whole point of the bill. As far as this cop putting this chief putting bicycles out on the street, I mean, you know, they might as well just go to Target and buy their T-shirts and put them on their back. Bicycles work maybe at the boardwalk, you know, down like in Coney Island, you know, or maybe Atlantic City. You know, that's where bicycles work. Bicycles don't work on the street. I think we had one or two bikes in the 75 and back in the 80s. And I just thought it was, you know, it wasn't helping matters anyway. It really wasn't. I just don't understand the, you know, bicycles and stuff like that. You know, you want to get out there. What they got to do is if there's a call for help, get there, take care of it and get it off the street instead of lingering right around waiting for a crowd to build up, you know, and start screaming and throwing stuff. You know, that's the ridiculous part of policing these days, I believe, is that they're at a situation, they're there too long, you know, they're there too long. And that's when things happen. It's just like that George Floyd Taylor thing, you know, over a year ago. They had him in the back of the radio car. There wasn't any sense of taking him out again. They should have left. The crowd was filled. They should have left.
Right.
They should have left. You know, take him to the station house. Take him to the emergency room. You know, do what you got to do, but get away from there. You know, and then you send the detectives back, you know, for the follow up. And if you arrest the wrong guy, well, you know, there's compensation for that. And right. It's just unbelievable. I, I don't know why, you know, when the cop tells you to turn around and put your hands behind your back, even though you swear up and down to God that you didn't do anything, you know, you're not going to win right there. So just do what you got to do and then use the mechanism of the justice system. And the police have stopped using the mechanism of the justice system. It's
right.
You know, they're scared to do anything. They're scared to do anything. The justice system, you know, works for the most part. It's not perfect.
Right.
But this guy putting cops on bicycles and stuff, that's not going to help any George Floyd, Taylor future incidents. That's not going to do a damn thing except have cops on bicycles standing around.
Right. Or peddling around. And then when the, you know what, hits the fan and now the cop has to make sure he keeps a hold of that bicycle or it doesn't get taken away or destroyed or they try to use it as a weapon. Cause I've seen demonstrations where they had bicycle cops at the scene with regular uniform cops, either in an RMP or on foot. And they're using the bicycle as a billy club, which is absolutely ridiculous. But you know what? One thing that the chief should have done on what New York City did up till a year ago was have an anti-crime unit where you had guys in the most aggressive cops, the meanest cops, the baddest of the bad, plain clothes in an unmarked unit going around doing just looking for people with guns and warrants. And it worked. I mean, but they don't want to do that because it offends the communities of color. It's like, oh, well, these cops cause too much problems because they're arresting everybody, or they were heavy-handed affecting arrest. Well, when you're going after the biggest scumbags in your city, your police work is not pretty, folks. It's not what you see on TV. It's not like Law and Order where they got some white guy accused of doing something, and he just puts his hands behind the back and bring him to the station house and putting him in the interview room, and that's it. I mean, it is dirty. It is ugly. People get hurt. People fall down. People get cuts, scrapes, bruises, lacerations. People bleed. People go to the hospital. People get shot. People get tased. People get pepper sprayed. And I'm just talking about things that happened on the way home tonight. But you know, the bike cops aren't going to do anything except have some cops with a little too much weight on them possibly lose it. I don't know, but it's.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's the other thing. That's the other thing that gets me is these police officers. They come up and their buttons are popping, and it's not because they got a bulletproof vest underneath their shirt, and then they wear that coat of armor, you know, with all the pockets and crap in it, and you know the vest that's worn outside, you know, and
right.
You know you have your you have your ID on you. No. And then they reach up, they unzip a pocket, and they pull out a pad and a pen. What's your name? I mean, is that a threat that you want to perceive it to be a threat when you pull out your little pad? The guy doesn't want to give you his name. So what? So what? Did he shoot the president? You know, what did he do? What is it with the names? Well, let me have your name. I just want to know who I'm talking to. Oh, my eye. You can't have my ID. Even I tell that to police when they come up to me. If I'm not doing nothing, if I'm just standing there, they want to know who's in the crowd. Well, hell. You know, there's cameras everywhere. Take a picture. Take one home. Frame it for yourself. I just don't get the chubby cops that are trying to assert themselves as badasses. I can run pretty far, but not long. And I know this guy ain't going to catch me. So, some of these cops that you see couldn't take 5 minutes on a Stairmaster. Really. Really. I mean, you know, I respect the police, you know, as much as the next guy that respects the police, if not more. But when some slob shows up and starts telling you what the law is and what he doesn't look professional. He doesn't look like he knows what he's doing. He doesn't look healthy. You know, why would you listen to him?
Right.
We don't have any fat army soldiers at the front, do we?
Well, they've been, that's another issue we can talk about. But anyways, it's been a great show. We want to thank
Mr. Moskowitz, Charles Moskowitz. Check him out, charlesmoskowitz.com. Also, we want to thank Billy Keebler and the guys over at the Jan Dawson's Fire Department in Jan Dawson, New York. Hopefully, he had a nice White House cigar. And also want to thank my partner, Walter Yerke, for another great show. But anyways, folks, this is Peter Skoofstan reminding you, you can make a difference. For God's sakes, go out and make it. Check us out, sunfireradio.org. That's sunfireradio.org. See you next time, ladies and gentlemen.
This is James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.